And here we are for a Sunday morning episode of Dualistic Unity Raw. You know, it's funny. I have been living very quietly for the last like decade and a half. I've been doing the dad thing and the husband thing, and I've been working on being an entrepreneur, and I've been working on, you know, being a coach and working on trying to, you know, find my own balance in myself and all of that. But my world was very small. Like there was a point in my daughter's life where you could have taken the little place that I lived, and if you were to put it in a snow globe, it would have looked perfect, because there was a field and there was like a bunch of cute little chalets, and we were out in the forest outside of town. Like, it was just perfect for her age and for where I was as a person and a dad. And it was very quiet and it was very secluded. I had this, it was very isolated, as it were. I had this very, this wonderful bubble of just being a family man. And that's all coming to an end to a large degree. It's not like I'm not a family man anymore. It's not like I don't love my daughter and all that, but she's getting old enough now where her bubble's expanding. Her bubble's expanding and she's doing stuff. And, you know, there's a part of me, it's like, oh God, I'm going to kind of miss that. Those quiet days of playing like board games and Uno when it was raining, or running around the field and stuff like that. You know, it really was kind of like a dream. But underneath it all, I've always thought to myself, man, there's so many conversations to have, and there's so much potential for change. And just having those conversations and just being out in the world, being willing to be yourself and chat about the challenge and the struggle that can sometimes go with feeling like you can't be yourself, just that conversation in itself. And so it's really cool to me. Like, all of a sudden I feel like I'm walking into a bigger bubble myself, or rather the bubble starting to dissipate. And I'm grateful for it. And at the same time, a little scared. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The other day when somebody walked up to us and they're like, you know, Ray and Andrew, that caught me right off the fucking, really, it really did. And it's becoming more and more obvious to me that just, I'm going to be interacting with more people and they're going to enter into my world. And I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited for it. There's a part of me, it's like, oh God, here we go. Because conversations for me, I love conversations with people, but often people have conversations with me because they're hurting, you know, and when they're hurting, they have a lot of weight that goes with that they're carrying. And it's great to be able to talk to them, but at the same token, you keep getting reminded of how much, you know, people are still hurting themselves. And it's kind of bittersweet. But on the other hand, I wouldn't rather be doing anything else. I mean, I had my bubble, I had my dream, I had my life, my little lovely isolated world with my daughter and my wife. It was fucking fantastic. I can't express how much those 15 years, really, just, they're beautiful. But the journey that's coming, I don't know, I'm excited about it because I can see the beauty in it. You know, a couple of nights now we've gone out, we've talked to people, and just in talking to people for just a few minutes, you can feel just a lightness. We were at karaoke last night doing a review, for example, and the guy at the table next to us was kind of, you know, you could tell he wasn't socially confident, but he was trying to reach out to us, and so we were shooting the shit with him. And then Andrew went up to sing, and I was chatting with him, and he's straight up said, you know, I do this karaoke thing to help deal with my social anxiety, right? And I thought that was great. And so we had that conversation, and the guy just kind of lightened up for the rest of the night. He was our best fucking friend. He was super happy, very encouraging. Every time he went up and sang, we encouraged him, and vice versa. And it was just, again, ripples. It doesn't take anything other than a willingness to just give up your time, not even give up your time, but share your time, share your space, share your presence, share your freedom, if that's what you're experiencing. You know, it's just, for a long time, it's just really funny because, I don't know, I was really enjoying that freedom. I'm still enjoying it. And I didn't know I could enjoy it with so many people involved. And I guess that's the point. I'm amazed by how many people are involved now. Our groups are fucking dope. Our community's dope. Our audience is amazing. The conversations we have all the time are fantastic. There's nothing else I'd rather do, honestly. You know, it's just amazing how much my world seems to be opening up. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little fucking daunting.
Yeah, I definitely feel the daunting side of it as, you know, shifts and changes. Like, I've definitely remained in a lot of my my comfort zones over the last number of years, and I'm finding more and more that, you know, being outside of that is been giving me an opportunity to just gain an appreciation for, like, what I have to say and share. And the more I interact with more different types of people, the more, you know, my experience of the world broadens, and I start to realize that, oh, everyone is going through lots and lots of different things. Like the guy in karaoke yesterday, I wouldn't have guessed that he deals with social anxiety. And after he mentioned it, like, I could maybe notice a tiny bit more, but then it's like, okay, I see those tendencies that I express, and I don't really pick up that he's necessarily would assume that he would be experiencing that. But then, you know, I'll assume that people can notice certain things, and we don't even realize how little we necessarily notice about each other until we start paying more and more attention and stop necessarily paying so much attention to, you know, how we're doing all the time. Like, there was one of the calls, I think Pam mentioned how, you know, you don't have to keep checking in and constantly checking in on how you're doing, you know, you just don't. And for a while throughout my life, it was like, that was a constant check-in. It was like, how am I doing now? How am I doing now? It's like morning routine. Make sure that every morning, you know, I meditate, I do my gratitude, I do positivity affirmations, and just, you know, get a sense for, get set up well for, you know, feeling good throughout the day. But it doesn't have to necessarily be the primary driver of everything that I do. Like, sometimes shifts and changes and growth doesn't feel great. Like, growing pains are very much a component of growing. And so I've gained more of an appreciation for the discomfort and how indicative of growth that it is, because, you know, it is exciting to see more of the world and to recognize how much, you know, you're capable of in yourself, and gain an appreciation for, like, oh yeah, no, I can handle this new opportunity. I can handle this. Here's another opportunity to experience more things, something that's entirely unfamiliar, and see how it goes. And I'm the root of this experience, so I have the opportunity to make the most of it. And just being able to get more and more opportunities like that, like, you know, in the last week, been in a brand new environment, been doing a lot of content, hanging out, and but like every day seems very new. It's doing very different and new things, and there are certain things that are, you know, different enough that are uncomfortable, but each and every time, like, oh no, this is, you know, this is a new experience, this is an entirely new situation, new environment. And I'm realizing how much it's like, oh, it's not on anyone else, it's not on any sort of environment to do it for me. And if that's the case, then no matter where I go, whatever moment I'm going through, I have the opportunity to make the most of it. And that's super exciting, because that's what I can take with me into situations. Then when I am in, you know, other types of situations, maybe more familiar or comfortable, it's like you get a perspective of how much you've shifted or changed, because there will be situations where I'm like a lot less comfortable, and I can tell that I'm like learning a lot more. And then when I'm a little more comfortable, I realize, like, oh wow, there was a point where this situation was uncomfortable. And so it gives an opportunity to kind of see the relative experience there, which has been, you know, really cool to see. Because for a while throughout my life, like, I didn't necessarily see the benefit of expanding outside of, you know, what you know and what's comfortable. And I'm feeling, you know, very similarly, that for a while I've kind of maintained that bubble, and now it's venturing outside of it. And yeah, kind of similar to the Croods movie we watched the other day. Shout out Croods. Just being willing to expand outside of that, and just realizing how much opportunity there is in that. It's it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We started a bunch of new segments. We've done a couple of new cooking segments, which you can find on YouTube or Instagram, which has been a lot of fun. What have we done so far? We did chili, breakfast burrito. Mm-hmm. We made seafood lasagna, seafood Alfredo, the other night. We don't have that video out yet. It's coming. And then we made burgers. We made burgers from scratch yesterday. Yeah. That's right. We made the patties and everything. That was great and super filling. So the cooking series is a lot of fun because in the weed series, we have a weed review series where we also go to local businesses and we tag them. We get to know people in the community. We had a business tag us back or rather comment on it the other day, which was great. Chris Cannabis, shout out to them. I like the content and I like where it's going because I think one of the problems I've always had with Dualistic Unity, as much as I love Dualistic Unity, is that it gets a bit on the serious side. And that's, great. Don't get me wrong. It's important to have this conversation, but it's important to balance that shit. Like, we can talk all day about how you should question the shit that you kids going through your head. But when you're not going out or interacting with people, you just get used to the same shit going through your head. So you can tune that out maybe, or rather you're so familiar you think you are, but getting out in the world and actually like going through shit that makes you uncomfortable and then watching all your thoughts pop up and then not reaching for them, just not reaching for them is the truth. Not assuming everything that crosses your thoughts is the truth. The only way to do that is to go out in places that trigger thoughts. Go out with people that trigger thoughts. And then you're going to end up dealing with those thoughts. And it's so important to just let them pass. Because we can talk about this shit all day. And we do. We do. Everybody who's here knows we talk about this shit all the time. But the point of the videos is, and then we go live our life. We have the discussion, then we go live our life and we go through shit and then we come back and we have another discussion. But the living your life part's super important. Going to the grocery store when you don't feel like going is a great opportunity to get to know your preferences, get to know what pisses you off, going for a long walk, that kind of thing, hanging out with people at the bar. If that's not what you're used to doing, it's not a bad thing for you. And what you find is you got a fuck ton of triggers, and all of those triggers make you think about yourself. And then all of those thoughts make you think that you know what everybody else is fucking thinking. And then you go through that whole thing and you come back and maybe you go through a little conflict and you're like, fuck, I did it again. Bam, insight. But it's not the insight that's derived from having a long ass conversation about cerebral topics, because that's all well and good. You can have little moments of aha. But it's kind of like being at home recognizing, like, oh, if I lift the weights, I'll get stronger, and then not lifting them. Get out, live, have fun, but get triggered. See that shit and don't respond.
Yeah. And every new experience gives you the opportunity to see what those might be and give you an opportunity. And if you're not getting out there and doing stuff, if you're just, left in the conversation trying to find the right words, like trying to say the right things, understand what it like the whole non-duality sort of realm is such a, I don't know, it's so interesting how it really does revolve around just talking and thought. It's this thought that, oh, I'm not, I don't exist, I don't, there is no me, there is energetic contractions, and that is all that I ever am. And it's not really, application at all. And so it can be a way to avoid certain triggers, and sticking to the conversation, like seasons one and two. And for a lot of the podcast, I was, on this track to try and figure something else out, continuing to figure out more and more and more. And it came to a point where I was like, oh, there are, like, I was trying to say the words so correctly and caveating everything I did and said, because I was trying to, find something, someone else's words, instead of just being willing to express myself, and share where I'm at, because there wasn't much faith in that. in what I had to say or share. I was constantly looking to someone else. And so every time I get into new situations, and I think it was, I was able to kind of stay around that because I wasn't experiencing as many new things. Like I wasn't going outside of my comfort zone as much. And so I was living my life in a lot of the same ways, trying to find the right words to this conversation. And so now that I'm doing more, you know, outside of that comfort zone and getting out there and getting into new situations and even just conversations with, you know, people that I don't know, like people that I'm just meeting. Like I didn't even spend that much time like meeting that many new people unless I was like, you know, out at a bar or something. And so being willing to just do that, having the opportunity to do that, I'm, you know, you're able to notice how many of those triggers you still have and then work through them and see that like you're making progress as you go. Like just because, you know, maybe you thought when you were within that comfortable bubble that you had something figured out and then you get outside of that and you're like, oh fuck, I don't know if I have anything figured out ever. It's like, that's super normal to be out. It's like being in a, like learning to swim in one environment and then, you know, having swam your whole life, then learning how to walk. It's like a kind of a new, like you still had all of that experience and maybe there's some cross, maybe swimming to walking isn't quite the best thing, but something like that, where it's like you have this experience and you learn how to do that. And then it's like, you think it's the same sort of thing, but being outside of that comfort zone is like a totally different thing. It's like a whole new environment and new opportunity to almost feel like you're relearning how to live in a lot of ways. And so if you carry with this bar, you know, with you trying to measure how you're doing as you're outside of that, it makes it a lot more difficult to continue to experience that. But if you have an appreciation for like, oh, this is all brand new, this is all brand new stuff. And so if I'm measuring my progress, it's just another thing that I'm adding to my energy, to my attention, to my ability to, you know, continue to learn new things. And so each and every time, you know, I have, you know, a thought or a doubt or a familiar sort of assumption, like, oh, I must be doing something wrong right now. I can look at that and be like, oh no, I'm in a new experience, a different experience. Like, of course these triggers are going to come up. Of course these thoughts are going to come up. Of course these familiar habitual assumptions are going to come up. That's actually indicative of being outside of, you know, the familiar and that known environment. So it's just, it's helped me to shift that perspective a little bit and keep that in mind as I go.
Yeah. And as always, just don't react to them. Just let them process. And usually you'll find some clarity near the end of it. It's helpful. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but that's the important part, right? If it wasn't easy, it wouldn't be worth doing. Something like that. I wanted to mention, by the way, that we were raising money for Fidelium last week. Anybody who hasn't checked out Fidelium, check out Fidelium. They're amazing. I just wanted to give a celebration and say thank you to the community. Holy shit. I don't know if you're all aware of this, but we had the goal. I'll throw up the QR code so you can check out the progress there yourself. We had the goal of raising $500 for Fidelium so we could run a campaign on social media here on the island, just to let people know that they have a professional level band that's won a national award in their neighborhood and they don't know about it at all. These kids aren't filling the seats, and that's just a tragedy when it comes down to the quality of music. And so we figured, well, we'll help them out. Andrew's going to help with a campaign and we'll raise some money. And wow, did everybody just come through like a motherfucker. I gotta say, like we're at $721 right now. That's $721 that's going to go towards helping not just the kids, but Trish and Jeff, who have been doing this for almost 20 years of their life. Like, they've given so much and so many hours and so much volunteer time, and all the parents who have given volunteer time for every event. This is going to be a huge boost for them because all of a sudden they're going to see a little bit more in terms of just people enjoying what they do. And so I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who could donate. It really means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to everybody at Fidelium. I know it means a lot to Trish and Jeff. And ultimately, I think it's going to mean a lot to everybody who ever gets to hear this music. So I just wanted to fucking take a moment and celebrate that shit, because, you know, we talk about getting outside our bubble. This is all really outside my bubble. I'm telling you, like, as a parent, I wasn't that guy who was going to PTA meetings. No. One of my least favorite parts of being a parent was other parents. So I was happy to be a parent of my kid, and other kids were not my problem, because, you know, I just didn't, I liked my bubble. You know, I got to know parents in terms of like my daughter's friends' parents, and that was all well and good. But for the most part, I stayed out of those large, you know, parent groups. I wasn't down with it for the most part, you know? And so it's kind of cool, again, to be coming out of my bubble, learning music, which is like a big trigger for me, being with people, you know, and just hanging, having people in my space. Like, it's just, there's just so much in terms of triggers. And yet I see so many benefits. Like, I see so many benefits to my life. And by my life, I mean like the world that I'm part of. I see these little ripples, and it makes a difference. It really does. So I just wanted to say thank you. You know, like every time I push myself out of my comfort zone, and I know a lot of you don't see me doing it, but I am all the fucking time, all the time. You're all just immediately showing the impact, or at least that there is one. I can't express my appreciation enough for all that. I really can't. And I'm really looking forward to opening up a show for Fidelium and saying, you know, proudly sponsored by everyone that is Dualistic Unity. That's mm-hmm. going to be fucking exciting, man. These kids, when they light up, and again, check out the video at the end of the episode with Trish. You can see the smiles on their faces. It makes it so fucking worth it. It really does. So thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it. And we'll keep you up to date on that campaign, because that's going to be coming out probably end of April, because we got to go to California. We're going to California. I thought I should mention that we have a retreat coming up on April 11th. I'm very excited about this. We still have two beds remaining. There is a single bunk and there is a king size bed up on the top floor. We have an additional coupon code that's available. So if you would like to use your Patreon discount code, so a tier 3 Patreon member saves $350 on a retreat ticket. Tier 2 saves $150. If you would like to save another $150, you can use code BigBear150, all one word, in conjunction with your code from Patreon. And then you'll be able to save up to $500 on that ticket. And that includes all your food, all your substances, and a shit ton of time just hanging with Andrew and I. You know, it's funny because ran across an ad on Instagram for... Oh God, Eckhart, good old Eckhart Tolle. And he's doing his thing, and he's talking about, you know, how to be present and still set goals. And he's got this workshop that's all about it. And it's like a 30-day workshop for fuck $1,000. And it's all online. And you never get to talk to the guy. It's not like you're actually meeting him. It's not like quiet time with Eckhart, you know, it's not that at all. And it's just like $1,000 for fucking like, and that shit gets me. And I really, really, and I mean this, you know, like the reason we do the content and the podcast and all this stuff is because if you can make something that, like, if you had a digital message in a bottle and it cost you nothing, why the fuck wouldn't you give it away for free? And if it did cost you something, and that's true, you know, like there's time you have to take to do a workshop, make the content, record the videos, there's stuff. Fine. But, you know, price that shit in. And even if you do price that shit in, at the number of fucking copies that he's going to sell of this shit, there's no way $1,000 is reasonable. There's no way. And you know, because it's $1,000 marked down from $2,000. What a fucking deal. Like, Jesus, learn how to be present with less money. It's just, it blows my fucking mind. So you know, if you're going to spend $1,000 and not actually get to hang out with the fucking guy and you know, you're going to take these notes, you're going to translate them through your triggers and thoughts anyway, come fucking hang out with us. You might as well. I mean, you're going to chill out in a dope place for 4 days. We're going to go for walks. We're going to talk. We're going to play pool where nobody gives a shit what fucking team you're on. We're going to have a different way of living because I don't exist in that whole fucking world of I should be doing something anymore. I'm tired of that shit. I really am. You want to come share my world? I'd love to share it with you. You want to come hang with me? I'd love to hang with you. I'd love for you to have a day where the clock is the last thing you fucking think about, where what you do next is a secondary priority to what you're doing now. Because that's my fucking day-to-day life. I love it. And I'd love for you to share it with me so you can take it with you, know what it feels like, and just recognize when you're touching that place in your own life every fucking day. Because you do, for moments. It's just a matter of practice. You know, and that practice does pay off. I would love for you to see that face to face. If you haven't already, come and join us. You know, California is going to be amazing. The house is fucking great. It really is. I'm pretty stoked. I've never been anywhere near Big Bear Lake, and judging from all the photos, and again, the QR code's on the screen, or you can just go to dualisticunity.com for the California retreat. My God, like, it's just like, you want to hear me walking around going, wow, this is going to be the fucking place. So yeah. And I might say it exactly like that just for comic effect.
Maybe more than once, maybe 10 to 20 times we're wandering around the house, checking it out. Cause you know, we don't see these houses beforehand. We see the pictures no differently than anyone else. And yeah, just having that space, like being able to wake up in the morning and not have a thought of like, oh, I got to be somewhere. Oh, I got to do something. Oh, I have to get up for this, do that, and just be able to walk down the stairs or out of your room and see a bunch of people who aren't trying to get anywhere either. Not thinking about what the next thing to do, what they're doing, you know, after the retreat, upcoming plans. It's just like, what are you doing right now? And what do you want to do right now? And do you want to go play a game? Do you want to chat about something? Do you want to share some stuff? And like being able to have that space where you can, I don't know, just like a testing ground for being yourself, like whatever's there, like being able to take some time where it's like, what if I didn't think about myself so much? What if I didn't, you know, assume that I have to live up to some sort of bar? What if I didn't assume for 4 days in a row that I was doing something wrong ever? That there was a point where, oh, I should have done this differently. Oh, I should have, you know, gotten up earlier. Or I should have said this instead of that. Or like, you can go through those things, and this is a awesome opportunity to do so. And I've gone through plenty of that each and every retreat, just kind of chipping away at my, you know, my own perception of what I should or shouldn't be doing. And each and every one, it's like such a cool opportunity to go through those experiences. Because again, it's not to say that those, you know, assumptions or concerns or fears or triggers won't arise, because you're given the space, you know, because a lot of times we can use the next thing. Oh, what am I doing next? What do I have coming up? Like, oh, I'm looking forward to this. Oh, I'm worried about this, as a means of, you know, avoiding whatever's going on in the situation that you're in, like the triggers that may arise when you're just fully involved in the experience. And so having the opportunity to see like, oh, there is no need to get to a next thing or focus on what's next. I can just be involved here and whatever, you know, wherever I'm falling on the spectrum right now is all right. And maybe I'm not even, you know, alone in that, but again, it's like, this is my experience right now. And you can see even that you're the root of it and that you can make the most. I can make the most of my experience as I go through things. And so it's an awesome opportunity to be able to do so. And just to get a, you know, get a feel for that way of living, admittedly, because it's been a very different way for me. Like I relied on structures, having a plan, having, you know, a certain plan throughout the day and ways that I'm going to spend my day and having a very set, like, planned out specific way of doing it. And it keeps you locked into the clock. Like it keeps you locked into that experience. Like it's a much faster experience. And all of a sudden you get to the end of the day and you're like, whoa, where'd that go? Versus when you are just, you know, involved in the experience that you're having and fully involved in that, it's like, it's slow. It really does slow down a lot. And it's like, it is a very different experience. So all that said, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for the California retreat on Big Bear Lake, and there's still two tickets left and get up to $500 off. So regarding the fun Eckhart stuff, it's fascinating how it can be this push for an answer, you know, like Eckhart's got the answer to something.
He can go for how long is it with that thought?
I think it was 7 minutes. Damn. He said once.
Seven whole minutes. That was where he starts thinking about his thought.
That was his one fun fact about
himself. That's terrifying. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to be working through. You know, 7 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're like, damn it, I'm thinking that. Yeah. That's a rough day. That is a rough day. You don't have to do that. I just want to mention you can just let that thought happen and not think that it means anything about you. There doesn't have to be some fucking pain body just because you had a thought, because you didn't. That's the point. It's not yours. It's not personal. It's a thought. It's a thought. That's all it is. But the more you're afraid of it, the more it feels like your thought.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's everything you hear. All of a sudden, it's everything anybody's saying to you is your fucking thought. And it's not. This is why it's important to sit down, just be quiet. You know, listen and go, right, but I don't know any of that. I could just be getting lost and shit. You know, and I mean this, like on the deep end of fucking, you know, psychology, like when you're going through these thoughts that, you know, all your friends are out to get you and you're getting paranoid and your family's suddenly a threat and you're closing your door and locking it at night and doing all that shit, like just stop. Just go, hold up. You know, I don't actually know any of this. And the funny part about that is that in order to do that, you have to face why you're holding on to the thought. And you're holding on to the thought because you think if you're thinking about it, you can protect yourself from it. And if you can just let go and not feel like you need to protect yourself from it, you no longer are imprisoned by it. It can just exist and it means nothing about you. But the thought that these people are out to get you, the thought that there's somebody manipulating you, the thought of paranoia, the thought of you know, conspiracy, all of that stuff, like that's all in the deep end of fucking thinking. That's all when you're just taking it so seriously because you're afraid of what might all mean, but you don't know. You don't know. And if you look at it and you're afraid of it, you're going to fucking see it everywhere. Everywhere. It's kind of like when you go out and you're worried about people judging you. And so everywhere you look, every person who's seeing you, you're like, they're judging me. That person totally judged me. Meanwhile, all you're catching are people looking around the room like you are, and you're making fucking eye contact for a minute. That's what's happening. And then they're thinking, is that person judging me? And they have a face and they're like, that's totally them judging me. And it becomes a self-fulfilling fucking prophecy because you're focused on it. Because the alternative would be, maybe that's not the case. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe that person is judging you. And the real question is, why does it matter? But you'd rather focus on the fact that they're judging you. Right? Because then you're entertaining the thought as opposed to, right, but even if they are, I'm not in danger. And that's where the thought loses its power. Because you recognize, like, I don't really need to be afraid of that. I mean, if it comes up, I'll deal with it. And that's the point. Anything you fear, if it pops up, you'll deal with it. But if it doesn't pop up, why are you trying to deal with it now? It's not there. You know, but you're acting as if it is. And so the only way out of that is to just face your fear. Stop trying to run in conceptual circles with thought. Trying to find a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, just in case it might exist. It could possibly happen. Dear God, what would I do? Got to head that shit off at the pass. And before you know it, it's a self-fulfilling fucking prophecy. You see it everywhere, and the hole just keeps getting deeper. You know, so just let it go. Like I said, you know, for me, dealing with quite a bit of OCD at one point in my life. I had problems getting out of the house. Like, it was really bad. I kept going back to the stove. And then once I had kept going back to the stove for too fucking long, then it would be going back and forth between the front door of my building and the front door of my apartment, trying to make sure that I had locked the apartment door. And then once I had left, you know, then I was okay. But then I'd make it like a half block and I'm like, fuck, I turn the stove off and I'd go back. I'd go back, like I'd be late for work by a good half hour, 45 minutes, like sometimes. And it was just because I couldn't get out of the loop. I was terrified, just terrified. What was I terrified of? Burning the fucking house down. You know, I was terrified of people breaking into my apartment and losing all my shit. You see what I mean? Right there, like all of that. All I can do is my best. And then the rest of it is fear. It's fear that keeps bringing me back to that thought. It's fear that keeps bringing me back to this need to absolutely make sure, guarantee. You know, that's why I liked a counselor friend of mine described OCD as a doubter's disease. You know, because you just can't have that faith in yourself, or you don't feel like you can. And that's the secret to those thoughts, is to actually just go forward and admit you don't know, to have faith. You know, but the thoughts are like, you must solve this. You must find a resolution. You can't let this go. It's an itch you must scratch. You don't have to scratch it. You don't have to scratch it. Every time you do, it's just going to keep getting itchier.
Yeah. Each and every time. And that's, yeah, for me, I never necessarily thought I never got diagnosed with like OCD or anything. But I think like with everything, you know, schizophrenia, OCD, it's all kind of this spectrum that everyone has the potential to be on to some degree. Like it's, I always thought things like that were like this line, and it's like a diagnosis, and you're either like not that or that, and it's not that at all. Like there's the potential for anyone to get focused on it. And, you know, being diagnosed, and again, I'm not like medical professional or anything, but there's a degree of responsibility, you know, that can, help with dealing with them, you know, not staring at them and assuming that it means something about you as you go. But yeah, there's certain thought loops you can get in that are just, they seem very, very real. And it's like this assumption that you got to do something about it. Assumption that you got to like do something about it that takes you from like the experience that you're having. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's like, this is what I got. This is where I am. This is what I'm facing, dealing with. And, you know, I think when there are new environments and new situations, it's like there are certain, you know, thoughts that'll come around or triggers that'll come around that are less familiar. And because they're less familiar, it's like, oh, this one, you know, may have, you know, more or less credence depending on, you know, how afraid I am of that. But it's still just the thought. It's still just the thought that doesn't have to knock you around. You know, it's a willingness to see that as an opportunity to continue and not necessarily get drawn into it, or just, you know, to let go of this assumption that there is a way even to necessarily get rid of the thought, like with Eckhart. And you know, I read The Power of Now. I read some of Eckhart's books and kind of saw his sort of message and everything as this answer, like, oh, cessation of thought. That's it. Like, that's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm going for. And it hasn't been that at all. And I think it just reinforces this sort of concern and fear of thought. It almost gives thoughts more power the more you think that you're gonna one day get rid of them. And if it's not that, you know, if there isn't an end to it, then it is just this sort of stream, and it's, you know, it's just running through your perception, running through your experience. But it's like these, again, these two tracks. It's like I'm experiencing reality, and then I've got thoughts that are experience, like that I'm simultaneously sort of experiencing, but like reality is always happening. Like reality is what's going on. And if I start to assume, like for a long time I assumed that it was the thoughts that were the real component. Like that was reality. Like they were equatable. And it's not to say that there is even a separate experience necessarily, because, you know, as you're experiencing thoughts, it's like they're as real as the attention that you pay them. And then it's what you start to notice, but it's still like, there's still reality in what's going on, no matter what sort of things are running around through your head. And it's helpful to realize that, and realize that, you know, those itches, you know, the scratched itch, like the itches continue to pop up. And if there is, you know, I think I have to scratch it. It's like an itch, you know, when you continue to scratch it, it's like, it gets itchier, as opposed to at some point just not itching it so much. And then it's the itch eventually goes away. And that's the only way that it goes away. If you keep scratching it, it's not going to have the opportunity to go away. So
don't pick at it, as my grandfather used to say. Yeah. Don't pick at it, it's healing. It's kind of funny, you know, because we know that most of the time, like when you know we're healing and something itches underneath the surface, we're like, don't scratch that. Mm-hmm. It's healing. You know, we don't recognize that though. You know, it's just we gotta scratch it. If I don't scratch it, how's the thought gonna go away? If thought doesn't go away, how can I be happy with my life? It's like you could just deal with your reaction to the thought. You know, it's kind of what Krishnamurti was saying. Like, so many people are anti this or anti that. You know, they're anti meat, or they're anti war, or they're fucking, I don't know, anti government. And it's like, that doesn't do anything. Like, you understand, like, being anti war doesn't end the reality of war. It doesn't. Like, it still exists. You know what I mean? And all you're doing is going, I don't like that. And that's all you're doing. It's like, that's great. That doesn't help us any. You know, it really doesn't, you know, but to accept the reality of war, to look at it for what it is, to look at where it comes from, to recognize the mentality that drives it, is an extreme end of a mentality that many of us share. You know, but it's so easy to be anti-war rather than, you know, aware, fuck, am I contributing to war? You know, and that's really it. Like, how much are you drawing lines in the sand between you and everyone else? Because all of that contributes on the far end, you know, to war eventually. Well, that's all. Like, how heavy are those lines? You know, and are they lines that you're holding on to even when nobody's threatening to cross them? Stay off my lawn. It's like, nobody's talking to you, Bob. I don't, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, how much are you holding on to from moment to moment? Because we forget this, but we really do think, like, okay, I'm afraid that if I go out to the grocery store, somebody's going to fucking see me that I know, and I'm going to have to talk to them. I don't want to do that. But you don't know what's going to happen, for one. Okay? You could go to the grocery store and make it back home and not run into anybody. Totally possible. So why are you thinking about it? Because even if it happens, what's going to happen? You're going to go through a conversation where you have the temptation to have preferences and thoughts and opinions and judgments and want to rush to get it done so you can get home and do the things that you think you want to do. So you got an experience there. And then it's over. And then it's over. And you've learned from it, unless you're bitching about it. Right? But that's it. It's over. The experience is over. And then you're back home after going to the grocery store. It's really not that big a fucking deal. It's really not, unless you think that somehow you are threatened by it. Somehow you're diminished by it. Your life is made worse by it. It's just a fucking conversation. You know, it's just a moment. It's just a fucking 5-minute blip in your day. But how often does it feel like it's this huge thing? And so it is. And so it is. God, if I run into people, they could judge me. And you go into it with all of that. You don't have to go into it with all of that. You don't have to go into any conversation thinking anything is about you personally. You don't. You just stop doing that until somebody says, hey, this is about you personally. And then you're like, oh, well, shit, why didn't you say so? You know, but if they're not doing that, don't assume. Don't assume it's about you. They could just be talking about shit. They just be going through stuff. Imagine they're like, fuck, I hate it when people are blah, 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 blah. And you're like, fuck, they're talking about me. No, they're probably not. They're probably talking about the person who triggered them. You know, that's the thing. They're going through something in their head. It had nothing to do with you, but immediately because you're afraid of those things being seen within you, it must be about you. And it's just not. Things aren't personal that way. Like, if you stop thinking everything's personal, you'd be amazed at how little shit there is to think about. You know, because most of the things that we tend to gravitate towards in terms of thoughts are thoughts that we are straight up afraid of or feel we need. Think about that. I really want you to take that in, okay? The thoughts that get your attention are the ones that you are afraid of or feel you need. If you got rid of that fear, or rather just looked at it, if you looked at those needs, the amount of thought you deal with would decrease. The amount of thought that you wrestle with would diminish. It's not the thoughts that are the problem. It's our preferences. It's our needs. It's our fears. And that's what determines how much we commit to those thoughts. I mean, you deal with those things, though, and thought's not a problem anymore. This is an argument we were having recently with somebody who's just like, you know, no, there's got to be a world where there's just no thinking. It's like, God, can you imagine a world where there's no thinking, but this ongoing kind of perpetual fear of thinking? Fuck. Like, it just sounds terrible. And there's nothing wrong with thought. You know, I was having this conversation with my daughter yesterday. We were talking about insecurity. And that if there was no insecurity, there would be no fucking art. There'd be nothing to express. There'd be no polarity. What the fuck are we going to talk about? And so we have this roller coaster. There's nothing wrong with it, except that we get really caught up in how real it feels. We actually think that when we feel like we're dropping, we're dropping. It's fucking crazy. Think about that. I feel like my value is being diminished. And so it is. It's like, no, you're the same fucking person you were 2 seconds ago. Nothing's changed except your perception of yourself, which isn't the truth. But you'll act as though it is the truth because you're not taking the time to question it. Because if you do, you're left with, I don't know. Great. Carry on.
Yeah. And that's always the case. And the thoughts are indicative in a lot of ways. And so, like, as you work through, you know, yourself and your own fears and, you know, perceptions of needs, it's like you start to realize that they don't have to be personal at all. And then there isn't the pull, but there can absolutely be this assumption, you know, as you're, you know, thinking about yourself, that things are indicative of you, especially, you know, in on these episodes or on, you know, Patreon calls or something, someone shares something and they're just talking about their own experience, but you start to realize that, you know, there's so much crossover in experiences that there could be a number of people, if someone is just expressing themselves, talking about themselves, who assume that that person's talking about them. You know, we see it from time to time. Like, I've seen it, I've experienced it plenty of times, because there is this sort of assumption that, oh, things, yeah, if I'm thinking about myself, then someone else must be. It's like there's this perceived need for it to be, almost. And it's like, it isn't. Just to assume even that someone is thinking about you or talking about you is an incredibly self-involved, like, selfish thing to assume, that things are, that anything means anything about you or is about you in any way. Yeah. Until someone's like, no, I'm talking to you. This is how you right now. Very specific. Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, that's informative. And until then, though, it's just indicative of where you're at. And it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be something. You don't have to go through your day assuming anything is personal, any experience, any interaction. And if you know going into a situation that, oh, it's not going to be personal, I don't know how it's going to play out, it's going to play out in a certain way, and it's not necessarily going to mean something about me. And if you're being self-honest and just going into it and being yourself and doing your best, it's like, what more can you bring to the table? Like, you go into a new situation, it's like, you're already going into a new situation. Like, how the chips fall, like there's a process there of being yourself and expressing yourself and getting into new things. And so to assume that, oh, I'm in a new situation, new environment, and I'm not going to have certain triggers come up. Like, I'm going to start from the same place that I came from when I was in more familiar environments. And like, that's not the case. It's going to feel different. And so it's almost like going back to baseline, and it's like the bar can drop to the floor, and then you're in a new situation. And even just being in the new situation, no matter how basic and seemingly similar that it is, even something that feels like something you've done before, it's still a brand new experience. Like, every time you do it, these calls right here, like, this is a brand new experience, this call, even though it's, you know, raw, whatever, 150, 160 or something. Like, I'll overlay this idea that, like, oh, I've done, you know, so many of these, and, you know, I should be able to just be, you know, relaxed the whole time. It's not to say that I'm not still relaxed, but there can be, you know, the more you go through something, the more it can seem like, you know, the bar ups, but it's still like, it can always be on the ground. Like, you don't need a bar. If anything, the bar is going to get in the way every single time. It's going to trip you up. It's like, you know, running through a obstacle course and you have a high bar, and it's like you got to climb over that bar every time instead of just being able to run through it and not necessarily know or feel good about climbing over the wall or meeting the bar or getting to the bar and using that as a means of feeling better. Because I guess that's, you know, something that I've certainly strived to do, is like, I'm going to set this bar, and if I reach and achieve that or exceed it, then I'll feel better. And if I don't, I'll feel like a bag of shit. And the alternative is not having that, not using it as a means of feeling better, but just being able to continue on and not need to live up to any bars or need to climb it to feel better. But that's sort of the alternative, is either feel better or worse, depending on how something plays out, and have pressure the entire time, be afraid of not living up to that the entire time, or be willing to not necessarily feel better about something going a certain way, but also not having that feeling of feeling like that shit. You know, if you don't go, or if you don't meet that, you know, perceived expectation they have.
Yeah. I want to mention, because we're coming up to the last 20 minutes here, things are going really well with the podcast. I'm very excited about the direction that we're taking. As I was mentioning earlier in the podcast, you know, just getting out of my bubble and all of that. And what I mean is, like, I've lived here in Nanaimo for almost 4 years, and I know nobody. Like, I go to a few places here and there, but I don't really get to know people, because frankly, I've been enjoying my little bubble. And, you know, in the last week, I think I've talked to more people at more businesses than I've talked to in the last 3 years, quite frankly. And it's exciting, because we're getting to know these local businesses, because they really, frankly, they need support. You know, this town does not know how to market its stuff. And, you know, you've got the north end of the town, which is all big developments, like big chains, you know, Winners, Chapters, you know, all of that. Whereas in the downtown core of Nanaimo, it's very small, little family-owned shops, and, you know, even cannabis dispensaries and restaurants and stuff like that. It's a great part of the city, is what I like, is what I'm saying. Nanaimo is it's suffering through the same thing everywhere else is suffering through: the rise of fucking, you know, commercialism and you know, just building houses in massive blocks of of like 100 or more, where they all look the same and they have the same goddamn street names except Crescent or Drive, or, you know, it's just it's a shame, because I mean, so much of it is just for the fact that, you know, people are owning multiple properties so they can rent them out, and so much of it's just profit driven. There's no love that's put into it. The houses are all cookie cutter, all that. And so, yeah, it's been really good to be able to go to these family owned businesses and these local places that have been there forever and just go, hey, we like your shit, we're going to tag you. Now we're going to tell people about you. And you can see it on their face. Like, this is great, thanks so much. You know, so going around town doing that, you know, just being known in town for doing reviews on local stuff. You know, reviews that are authentic, not reviews like, okay, so, you know, the meal was 4 out of 5 stars because of this and this and this. But really, like, this is what we made out of this experience. You know, that's what one of the things I like about our cannabis reviews, because we talk about the strain, but we don't get into like the specifics of like the terpenes and the trichomes and the THC content and all of that stuff. You can look that shit up. You can look that up. You don't need us to tell you that. Just go to Leafly, something like that. But what you do get to see is us experiencing that high, going through it, making the most of it, sharing some insights about how you might be able to make more out of it as well if it's a little heavy for you. We just released a weed review for Dozy Melon from Good Buds on Vancouver Island. Holy fuck, that half-gram joint clubbed me right over the fucking head. I was high. I was really high. And I'm used to it, but I was really high, and I couldn't get any words out. It was silly. It was really fun. But that became the topic of the weed review. Don't panic. If you can't get words out and all of a sudden you're like, oh God, I feel like an idiot. Don't do that. You know, just don't panic. Just go through it. Why are you trying to get words out? Maybe it's not supposed to be coherent. You know, just be yourself. Just relax. And, you know, stuff like that, when you're going through it, is super helpful. You know, because, I mean, that's really how to make the most of your high. Somebody's like, how do you smoke all day and not get anxious? This is how. You know, stuff like that. You're not going to find that. And eat peppercorns. Bring yourself down. Like, you don't need to do that. You know, you can really just understand why the thoughts are getting to you. You know, why is it all getting to you? And it's because you're taking them seriously, because you think there's something you need to defend. And you don't. You don't need to defend it. You don't need to be anything other than what you are. And anybody who thinks differently is dealing with their own shit. You know, and that doesn't just apply to getting high. It applies to being alive. It applies to everything. And so it's great to be able to show that side of DU. It's very cool to show, like, yeah, we talk about some deep shit. We also do some fucking weird shit. And we laugh and we have a good time. And there's no rhyme or reason. It's like, what's that? You think pot smokers don't move around a lot? Check out all this fucking walking. You know, like, just stuff like that. It's fun for me. I love it. And it's great to see that now the podcast is getting like a local route that it can expand from as well. Like, the businesses here will get to know us, the population will get to know us. That'll expand over the island. We'll be doing more events. You know, like, there's a night market that happens in the summertime here. Sure. We could go down and just start interviewing people in the booths.
Yeah. Doing right. Some live booth interviews.
Straight up, like once a week, because it goes on every week, yeah. Right? Go down first week, do like 3 or 4 interviews, yeah, tag them, and then the next week go down and they'll get to know us right away. Like, there's so many exciting opportunities to just get involved with the community to help promote what they're doing for no reason other than the fact that we can, you know, and everybody benefits from doing so. Isn't that funny? Everybody benefits from doing so. It's just not having so many fucking needs that you're able to do that. That said, we are working on our business plan, or rather, not our business plan. We have that on an investor pitch, just kind of like everything we're doing moving forward, what the podcast is, and then what it's going to get involved with afterwards. We're looking at a lot of really exciting cannabis-related stuff. So if you are curious and you would like to get involved, if you are looking to invest in something that has a return of investment over 5 to 7 years, there's an opportunity to own a percentage of the company itself. So there's an equity stake. It's an actual investment is what I'm saying. You can do so. Go to dualisticunity.com/invest. It'll take you to the form. You can also find that that form in the contact section of the website. And you can be involved in this as we expand, because we're going to be doing a push here in the near future. And that just means putting money into marketing, or rather advertising, which is something we don't do. You know, so we've actually managed to accumulate like a giant conversation here just organically because of you, you know, and people like you just loving the conversation and sharing it and telling their friends. And so this has all been just a hell of a ride. But imagine what we could do with some money to throw at advertising. Imagine what we could do if we just made a big push and said, hey, TikTok, start showing our shit to people who aren't necessarily interested in specifically this conversation, but somewhere close. You know, it's going to be very exciting. So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to see this expand, if you want to get, you know, your attention into the roots of this as it starts to explode from here, please do get in touch with us, click on the thing and let us know. We'll be doing that investor presentation before our California mini retreat. It's coming up soon.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And I know a number of people who are, you know, and just hear about it. Everyone's trying, you know, got their savings or money and trying to invest in different things, find some. I remember a couple of years ago trying to invest in like some mushroom company or like a cannabis company or something like that. And just putting it in something that I thought was cool and was going to expand and was actually, you know, doing something not for the world, but just something that wasn't necessarily driven to just make profits, you know, not do it for, you know, the people involved to make a bunch of money, but actually just, you know, because they can have an impact and that being the priority and, you know, money being something that's a necessary component of living, but it's certainly not being the priority at all from the ground up. And so, yeah, I think it's a super exciting opportunity for us and getting the advertising out there, but for anyone who's looking to put some resources into, you know, a situation like this is super, super exciting. So yeah, I'm nothing but pumped for that. And yeah, just being able to work with some local businesses and doing the in-person stuff. Cause you know, talking about comfort zones, like, yeah, I've said it before, but social media was definitely a way for me to maintain a sort of comfort zone. Like even doing these episodes in person now, it's like, that's different for me. I didn't do a ton of like in-person stuff, you know, face-to-face with people involved in reality, like, you know, being behind a phone or behind a computer screen is a different means of expression than being in the same room or situation as someone, especially when, you know, I feel less of a pull to take things in a specific direction, like each and every conversation moment. Like I'm realizing how organic conversations can be when you're not, you know, you don't have a reason to have them. Like so many of my conversations throughout my life were kind of driven by, you know, learning something new or you know, chatting with each other about, you know, what's going on in our lives, strictly that and nothing outside of that, kind of like expressing a trajectory that both people assume that they're on towards something and how they're getting to that point. And it's like, so even just having conversations that are just conversation, just like, you know, shooting the shit with people, like those are, that is outside of my comfort zone. As crazy as it is to say that, having done a podcast for so long, like doing something without so much of a trajectory or trying to express anything or help anyone or get anyone anywhere or fucking teach anything, like that there's almost a safety and security in trying to express a certain message. Cause then there's like a right way to do it. And then there's, you can figure out how to do that and get good at it and measure yourself based on how well you're doing it. But if it is just, you know, open-ended sort of expression, like there isn't a way to measure that at all. You know, there's not a way to measure like, oh, is this going well? Is this going poorly? It's like, you never really know. You can't really know because there is no well, there is no poorly. There is no, you know, oh, am I expressing myself well? Am I expressing myself poorly? How is this going right now? Like that doesn't exist. And so just getting an appreciation for that, like how many things can seem like, oh, you know, I've done all these things, so I should be able to do these things well or these things better. It's like, that's not indicative of anything. Like the most basic sort of thing, you could have some triggers arise. And if there's this assumption that like, oh, why I shouldn't be experiencing these triggers. I should be better at this by now. I should be good at this by now. Like I should be what? Like how can you even be good at it? It's like you can't necessarily. And so you don't have to, yeah, each and every situation is as much as everything can seem familiar, like nothing really is. Like every situation is brand new. Even conversations with people that you've had, you know, lots of previous conversations with, it's like each conversation that you have with them, it's like you're different, they're different. It's a different experience, it's a different environment. Everything is changed. And so to assume that there's a certain, you know, you've achieved a certain level of experiencing that situation, and so you should be in a certain spot based on that, is bullshit, is total bullshit. And you don't need to have that bar as you go through any situation. Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, this should go in a certain way. And based on how it goes, it's like my value is going to shift and change. And it's like the value ain't shifting. You're still going to be you at the end of the day. You go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning. It's like, you're still you, and you're still going, you're going to go through a bunch of new unfamiliar experiences the next day. And it's like, if you spend your day judging yourself today, it's like, what are you going to do? Get up and judge yourself all day tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's like, you don't have to do that. You certainly don't have to do that.
I agree. That said, one last thing. The Dualistic Unity Life Troubleshooter has been fucking amazing. We've actually had, I think, like 400 or 500 questions that have been asked to it at this point. Like it's going up all the time. If you have a chance to check it out, please do. You can find it on the ChatGPT store. Just type Dualistic Unity. You can also just go to dualisticunity.com/troubleshooter, and that'll take you straight to it. You must have a ChatGPT Plus account to use it, unfortunately, but it's worth it. Oh my God, is it ever worth it? It's like $20 a month. Definitely, definitely helpful. And this thing's just great for reflecting back some of the stuff you're working through. If you're dealing with stuff at work, dealing with stuff in your relationships, dealing with, you know, a little doubt and anxiety, dealing with whatever. Just have a chat with it like you would with ChatGPT, for example, except that this specific GPT is programmed around all of the insights that we share for the first four seasons of the podcast. So it's actually going to reflect back a lot of what we talked about within those first four seasons. So if you're wondering, I wonder what they might say, this is actually a pretty good place to start. If you can't come to a retreat, that is. If you can come to a retreat, that's way better. Obviously, come to a retreat, because then we can actually, you know, answer for ourselves, and there's going to be way more nuance, because admittedly, it's not a silver bullet. It's just really good at going, hey, have you thought of this? Which I really appreciate, because that's very much its role. It's not trying to get you to an answer. It's very much just trying to facilitate more processing, right? So I appreciate that about the troubleshooter. Well, check that shit out. Its name is Eon, which I think is great, and it's very happy to see you. So definitely say hi. And if you can, talk to it like a person. And I say that kind of with a certain degree of tongue in cheek, but the other reason is because I one day I hope to train it to be sentient.
One day we'll get there. Eon Lightfoot wandering around. If there's going to be sentient things out there, AI things, like might as well be worse, man. You know, yeah. Might as well get our own out there if it's going to be stuff out there anyway. So yeah, it's really cool though. And it doesn't give answers to things. I mean, it will, you know, and you can ask it questions even about, you know, same stuff you could ask ChatGPT. And it'll give, you know, maybe a slightly
radically nuanced, different.
Yeah.
Radically yeah. different than ChatGPT. It is yeah. crazy.
Yeah. I'm saying for like a grocery list.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's still informed. I don't know. Maybe it's informed by, who knows what it's informed by. With
that'd
that,
be funny.
Yeah.
Like, give me a healthy diet. And it's like, you know, health doesn't just include your food.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
I think I actually did ask for some sort of grocery, just like playing around with it, ask for some sort of grocery list based on something. And I think it did mention something about that, like that health that isn't just involved in, it's not just a nutritional component, but yeah, it'll run through all different sorts of considerations. Sometimes it'll give you, you know, you ask it a question, it'll give like eight sort of considerations instead of just one, like, Eon has the answer. No differently than, you know, anything that happens on the podcast or anywhere else, is like, no one has any answers for you. No one has any like at all whatsoever. And so it's certainly not something to be relied on, just like any person isn't something to be relied on, because if there is a person that's being, you think you can rely on or look to for the right way to act and the right way to live, it's like you're going to just continue to disempower yourself. And when you stop looking around so much, like, that's unfamiliar territory. If you've been looking around your whole life, looking for answers, looking to the world, society, structures, you know, people in your life to give you an answer, like, it's going to feel brand new to just jump into stuff and not look around so much and just express whatever you are going into it. And that's exciting, because then at least you're not building anything, but you're at least gaining context and experience based on your own point of view, instead of it being, you know, clouded by someone else's perspective and the assumption that, you know, anyone even knows what's right. What's right? It's like, we only know our experience. I only know my experience. I can only speak from that. And so even to assume, you know, in a in like a conversation or something that, you know, oh, I should be adding more. I should have a better response to this. Like, based on what? Like, based on what sort of idea or fucking bar or anything? It's like, there's nothing that is, you know, required of yourself in terms of an expectation outside of just paying attention and being involved in whatever you're going through and dealing, like, being fully involved in your life. And the more involved you are in the life you're experiencing and in reality, it's like the less, you know, any of those thoughts that you assume you're doing something one way or another are going to have that same sort of pull or need that same sort of attention. And so it's exciting to continue to be able to jump into new stuff and just find out, you know, what you're made of and build some of that self-faith, you know?
Exactly. We've got like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes here. So I'm just going to give a shout out to Patreon. Our Patreon groups are dope. I've really been enjoying them. We've managed to get more videos from the archive uploaded. I think we've uploaded almost 20 hours or a dozen hours or so of new groups to our Patreon page in the last week. You can check them out. They're all great conversations from just a few months ago. We're catching up on the dates now. And of course, you can join us 5 days a week for group chats where you can just shoot the breeze with us. And we always love those. In all honesty, I do. I love those groups because it's not even about us. We just facilitate the groups and then everybody informs each other. You know, there really is this this relationship that develops over time just by people going through their own shit, making it about them for them, and then hearing other people doing the same thing. And there's a degree of authenticity that really rings through. And I think a big part of that is just the fact that, you know, we look at our experience. The only thing that we can know is ourselves. And that is, in fact, all of our awareness. But as we start to question those thoughts that pop up, all of which are based on this conceptual you really start to wonder if the awareness that you're experiencing is separate from the awareness of everyone else. That if the thoughts that you're seeing, if you stop taking them personally, might be the thoughts that we're all dealing with. It's just that, wouldn't that be uncomfortable to admit? Because then you'd have to stop taking them personally in order to actually see that. And that's a challenge all of its own, but there are benefits to it. And we will talk about that a little bit more next time. We're going to be on Patreon next for a group call. It's a tier 2 call followed by a tier 3 call. We're going to be on Patreon for 3 hours. So if you would like to chat with us, definitely do so today. Sundays are the best because we have people from all over the world who come on Sundays because it meets a lot of different time zone requirements. So patreon.com/dualisticunity. You're going to find all the details for the tier 2 call there. The tier 3 call will be posted shortly. We'll see you all in about 15 minutes.
Looking forward to it. See everyone on Patreon, I guess.
Bye, everyone.